Anything that brings you back. A Bungle, Stray Dogs fan fiction. Written by Feral Rookie. Read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated Gen, with pairing Dazai Chuya. If he were in the mood for waxing poetic, Dazai might call the night crisp. It was warm today for spring, but the cold is starting to settle into his limbs now. The alcohol certainly isn't helping that, despite the warm way it's settled into his core. Odasaku called it putting on your liquor coat once, before Ango launched into an explanation of the dangers of such things and scolding them both for being stupidly reckless. He chuckles to himself, caught somewhere between the same fondness and melancholy he's been stuck in since before the sun went down, since the sun came up, since before the sun came up. Dazai recognizes the footsteps without having to turn around, knows the specific gravity of the stride sure as his own heartbeat. He takes a swig from the bottle in his hands before letting it dangle from his fingers, forearm braced on his bent knee, swinging it back and forth idly. No one can find me when I hide anywhere else, but the one place I'd really like not to be found, someone always manages, he grumbles, mostly to himself. This year there aren't any schemes, no city to be saved, and he even took the time to formally take the day off so he wouldn't be smoked out by well-meaning co-workers. At least he was successful on the co-worker front. From behind him, progress stops at the other side of the grave. When did you become the sentimental type, Saba? Dazai doesn't make any effort to look at him when he says brightly, Chuya is tactful as always, I see. Chuya clicks his tongue and steps around to stand beside Dazai instead. Dazai continues to avoid acknowledging him or making eye contact. He's been nursing the whiskey for hours, a tumbler left on the other side for Odasaku, drinking in quiet company. But he feels the urge to down the entire bottle now that he's under someone else's watchful eye. He takes another swig and lets his head rest back on the gravestone, unpleasantly cold against the back of his neck. Have you finally come to kill me? No one would have sent Chuya after him, which begs the question, why? This would be a terribly convenient venue. Not today, no. It's unusually subdued for Chuya, and Dazai finally opens his eyes, tilts his head to the side to get a good look at him. He's dressed down, clearly went home from work before coming here, so it was a premeditated decision. All signs point to Chuya knowing he would be here, but that doesn't make it clear why he'd come here to find Dazai, tonight of all nights. How irritating not to see straight through Chuya's motivation. So why is Chuya here? Don't be dense, Chuya scoffs, dodges the question as he drops down gracelessly to sit at angles to Dazai. The narrow side of the headstone has to be uncomfortable, pressing against Chuya's spine, but it puts his back to Dazai, intentionally maintained physical distance, but it's not standoffish, not uncomfortable either. In fact, it's downright considerate, given Dazai's unwillingness to fully engage with Chuya's presence. How strange. Why are you here? That seems like a stupid question, don't you think? Seeing as you found me. Fucking humor me, you pain in the ass. Holy calm. Amicable about it, even. Like, this is normal behavior for them. Dazai supposes it is, for some value of normal. Prying, though. This, too, is strange from Chuya. especially now, about this, in all its sensitivity. It feels vaguely like déjà vu, to be interrupted here, today, by someone he knows when he least wants the company. At least Chuya doesn't seem to want anything from him other than answers. Wasn't sent to collect him to do a job he doesn't have the energy to do, not when he's sunk down under the weight of this particular loss. The why continues to elude him, though. A fact that Dazai is fully committed to blaming on the third empty bottle of whiskey in his hand. Still, Chuya doesn't demand anything else. Just tucks his hands behind his head and rearranges to slouch more comfortably against the grave. Lets Dazai sit quietly with his thoughts. It's oddly soothing. Eventually, he taps Chuya's elbow with the bottom edge of the bottle, holding it out until Chuya registers the invitation and takes it. When Chuya hands back the whiskey, Dazai entertains his question. It's uncomfortable. Sharing his unhappiness isn't something he's particularly interested in doing. In spite of all intentions to the contrary, however, his tongue moves before he makes the decision to talk. Otosaku died today. There's no reason to have answered, and even less to continue talking, but saying his name aloud to someone else seems to have let something loose in him. Pandora's box, but he can't for the life of him imagine what good thing might still be hiding inside. I come here sometimes to talk to him, or drink, or both. Chuya hums thoughtfully and waits, maybe, for Dazai to continue. When he doesn't, not sure what else to say when he hadn't meant to share at all, Chuya asks, "Does it help?" It takes a slow moment for Dazai to parse the question, unsuccessfully in the end. "Help what?" "The grief." Surprisingly to the point, even by Chuya's standard bluntness. "He's not... that's... feelings. They don't do those. Not explicitly, like this at least. Not before and certainly not now, when Chuya barely tolerates Dazai's presence when it's required of him. A hard reality that, once again, confuses Dazai in this context. His thoughts are growing a bit less organized with the sudden external expectations upon them, and Chuya's perplexing behavior is less pressing than the assertion that Dazai is suffering through grief. Perhaps he is. It's not like Dazai's had experience with it at all. He so rarely lets himself care enough about anything to mark its loss, let alone had an opportunity to try grieving in whatever way it's meant to be done. Certainly not openly like this. Only 3 years out of hiding, and certainly not in company. This time last year, Dazai was halfway to getting himself stabbed by a man that was already dead twice over. And Chuya's here now. Though Chuya's presence doesn't feel like a burden, which takes Dazai by surprise. It's that realization that lets him keep talking when he might have otherwise locked everything back up. "I thought time might help," Dazai murmurs. But in the end, it seems nothing really does. They let the comment hang between them, dissipating into the breeze through overhanging tree branches and the sounds of slowing nightlife. Eventually, Chuya breaks the silence. "For a long time after you left, I was sure you were dead, you know? Only, I didn't have a grave to visit," he says softly. Forced casual. Dazai can pick out the tension in his voice, even if he can't quite identify the root of it just yet. "I always wondered if being able to yell at you would have helped." Has it ever helped anything to yell at me when I'm alive? Of course not. Of course not, Dazai agrees. He did try that a few times early on, privately, miserable and aching with the immediacy of Odasaku's death. It never helped. Just left him feeling gutted and guilty, struggling to swallow around the fresh self-loathing he felt for his anger, as though all of his mourning wasn't painful enough. Yelling at the dead feels worse, actually. They pass the bottle back and forth a few times between them, a comfortable rhythm generated without requiring any effort to coordinate. Dazai chews over his next words for a while, trying to put them into an order that makes some kind of sense. I should have followed him instead of asking Mori. There was no reason he should have died, not with everything we had at our disposal. Guilt looks weird on you, Chuya remarks mildly. Is that why you're here? You keep asking me that. Dazai sits up straighter, turns and leans forward to look at Chuya properly, purposefully. Can feel the frown tugging at his features and the unsteady sway of his position as the alcohol ruins his poker face, and he can't quite find it in himself to be bothered by that. And you keep dodging the question. Chuya looks over his shoulders and catches Dazai's gaze for the first time. There's a flush high on his cheeks, across the bridge of his nose, some combination of alcohol and the cold, that Dazai finds strangely disarming. It must show on his face, something in his expression, because Chuya smiles, a wry little twist of his mouth, before he rearranges his position. Shoving Dazai over, he shuffles around, scoots over to sit shoulder to shoulder, so they're sharing the headstone at their backs. He presses. You aren't the type for tradition or sentiment, yet here you are on the anniversary. What does Chuya want me to say? I wonder, he muses. The silence that falls between them isn't quite expectant, though it's obvious Chuya still wants an answer. When Dazai doesn't oblige, Chuya hums and changes tracks. Have you ever let yourself properly grieve? Absolutely not, Dazai chirps. No hesitation, mouth moving ahead of his thoughts again. There's an uncomfortable itch building from his fingertips up through his arms, a spreading desire for physical contact that's unfamiliar and unwelcome. The whiskey is muddling his processing, though, making boundaries they've always maintained feel fuzzy and arbitrary. He's only a little taller than Chuya when they're seated like this, and after they finish drinking down another third of the bottle, he shuffles around to rest his head on Chuya's shoulder. Decidedly vulnerable behavior. He must be well and truly drunk, he decides. I let myself have this for one day, then I box it back up again. Chuya doesn't so much as flinch over Dazai's invasion of his space. Entirely unfazed, or much more successful at maintaining a drunk poker face, so to speak. That seems unlikely, given Chuya's standard alcohol tolerance and how much they've had to drink in the stretch of time they've been out here. You're allowed to, you know, he murmurs, voice dropped low and weirdly intimate, like this is a secret meant just for Dazai. Not just today. This part of my life is over, Dazai replies, equally quiet, shakes his head against Chuya's shoulder. They sit in comfortable silence for a while, before Dazai speaks again. Not quite a whisper. I miss him, Chuya. Course you do. Chuya draws his head back to get a look at Dazai across the awkwardly sharp angle. Dazai leaves his head firmly in place on Chuya's shoulder, uninterested in being seen or making the attempt any more or less difficult. When Chuya says it, it's as though the idea should be obvious. Maybe it is. He was your friend. His thoughts snag unexpectedly. Friends. I don't have many of those. He breathes. He lost the two he always counted, uncertain there have ever been any others. Chuya sighs through his nose, knocks his knee against Dazai's thigh. Maybe you didn't before, but it's different with the agency, yeah? Dazai makes a strangled little sound, something caught between a considering hum and an objection, heart stopped up in his throat. Maybe. Maybe is an incomplete calculation. He takes a moment to pick it apart and find a proper answer. The ADA is reliable. Dazai always trusts them, but there, beneath the obvious, is an implicit understanding, left unnoticed until now, that he can count on them for more than business. Somewhere between the missions and the working hours, they're slowly starting to carve out doors in the towering walls of his defenses. And Dazai is letting them. Kunakira and Yosuno in particular. Rampo too. That his colleagues might actually be his friends, practically speaking, hadn't occurred to him. There's another feeling there too. Something he doesn't recognize. The way he feels about the kids, Fukuzawa, the agency itself as an ensemble. Something warm and comfortable that's grown right under his nose. It is, he supposes, some manner of friendship. Different than Odasaku, than Engo. Different from Chuya, though their relationship seems far too complicated to be friendship. Now that the thought has struck him, it consumes his focus. Are we friends? Chuya considers the question thoughtfully. Deep breath and a slow exhale in a sigh. His tone is difficult to translate. Unfamiliar. Not the resignation Dazai expected to hear. It's certain and... something. We're partners. Partners. He turns the word over slowly, considers it for longer than strictly necessary. No real thoughts about it, nothing developing in his whiskey-heavy head. Eventually, he gives up on trying to think about it properly. Asks the next obvious question. Still? Unfortunately. Chuya chuckles wryly, tips his head to rest against Dazai's. I can't manage to get rid of you. He ramps up dramatically out of habit. The admission makes him itchy, more than the idea that Chuya grieved for the loss of his partnership, or that Chuya understands his sadness or any of the rest. It's the truth as much as it's a deflection when he simpers. Chuya doesn't seem to be trying very hard. Yeah, well, this, at least, is familiar. Chuya's discomfort. Dazai is struggling to catalog the nuance of it, though. How admitting that Dazai leaving hurt him isn't embarrassing, but the idea that he still thinks of Dazai as his partner is? Chuya plucks the bottle from between Dazai's hands to finish off the rest of it, not bothering to offer any or ask first. You're not the only one who gets lonely, he says, soft, a breath, almost deniable, almost. Dazai cozies up to him further, cheek firmly smashed against the curve of Chuya's shoulder, tucks his arm around Chuya's at the elbow so their palms rest just within reach of one another, definitely drunk. Secrets are a burden when you have to carry them alone. Chuya sits with that a moment, and Dazai wonders if he got it wrong, if the isolation of not being understood wasn't actually at the heart of it. But Chuya gives him a little nod, finally. That's only because ours weren't ever secrets before. No, Dazai murmurs. I suppose not. The breeze picks up around their silence, and he's grateful that Chuya is letting him remain huddled close as the chill cuts through his coat. The oddity of it has Dazai's thoughts turning back to the question of why Chuya is here. He lets them wander over their conversation while he tries to piece together an answer, stumbles over all the other surprises in an attempt to avoid outright asking again in order to satisfy his curiosity. Chuya grieved when I left? I did. Chuya sighs, and this one is resigned. Adds, I still do, sometimes. That's... Dazai frowns, struggling to make sense of how he feels about that, precisely. Surprising. It really shouldn't be. If you say so. He doesn't intend to sound dismissive. Unfortunately, Chuya doesn't seem to take it that way, judging by his lack of reaction. Grief just doesn't seem like a reasonable response. Anger, sure, especially given how resentful Chuya has seemed every other time they've crossed paths again. Chuya has always been good at anger, and Dazai would think there's enough of that not to leave space for anything else. It's not as if Dazai has stopped giving him reasons to be furious, beginning with Lovecraft and ending with Shibusawa. Maybe Dazai's not qualified to make judgment calls on this, though, considering his own poor grasp on the feeling. Grief does what it wants, Chuya shrugs, jostling Dazai's head a bit in the process. You don't really get a say in it. Dazai's thoughts tangle, stuck wondering how long it took Chuya to work out that Dazai had brought Shibusawa back to Yokohama. Whether he knew before he chose to jump out of a plane on the chance Dazai would still live to save him. Last year, Dazai starts. Did you know? It takes Chuya a moment. A funny little quirring sound that seems unintentional. Dazai lets him sort it out without commenting further, and Chuya clicks his tongue in irritation when he catches up with Dazai's train of thought. That seems like a stupid question, don't you think? Chuya tosses back at him, if softly. Seeing as I found you. Since that night, and the brief conversation before the oncoming dawn, Chuya has never once mentioned it. There's not been much opportunity for it, but Chuya's never been one to hold back a drunk dial if he has something to rail about. So if there was ever any anger left in him, that Dazai never mentioned the Kirin was still alive, that Dazai was the reason for his return to Yokohama of all places, Chuya kept it to himself. I would have thought you'd be angry. I was, Chuya agrees. Very. That doesn't mean I didn't understand. He knocks his knee against Dazai's leg again. Harder this time. Pointed. You'd think I'd stop being offended by you forgetting that I know you. You really do, don't you? Yeah, Chuya huffs. And it shouldn't be such a fucking surprise to you, asshole. Dazai suppresses the uncharacteristic urge to apologize. Sorry is a bridge too far. Even in this bizarre liminal space of vulnerability inside which they found themselves bubbled, he has a sneaking, uncomfortable suspicion that Chuya hears it in the silence anyway. He does lean into the guilt-adjacent feeling, though, and lets himself settle into the hole he's spent the last few hours digging for himself. Sometimes I'm still furious at him for going alone that day. Makes sense, That's not something he's inclined to agree with. But once again, Chuya's certainty lets Dazai consider it. Lets Dazai at least hold it alongside the dissonance of his discomfort with his own anger. It feels wrong to be mad at him when he's the one who died. It's not. Chuya says it so simply. Unquestionable and certain. And Dazai is surprised to find that he believes this. Unwilling to accept that it's reasonable, but perfectly capable, apparently, of being afforded the allowance to feel it. He nods against Chuya's shoulder, closes his eyes, and sits in that understanding a while. Come on, Chuya says, nudging Dazai off his shoulder. He's not sleeping, but he's somewhere in an empty, quiet space that he rarely finds in his own mind. Buzzed and comfortable, comforted, and possibly a touch hypothermic now that he registers the cold seeping into his bones. His hands and feet are numb. Where are we going? He stretches his legs out in front of him and kicks them a bit to get his blood flowing. My place, Chuya says, matter of fact. He stands up and rolls his shoulders, shoving his hands into his jacket pockets. It's almost 3 hours still before the subway starts running again. That's unnecessary. Dazai cups his hands and blows warm air into them. I can get myself home. Chuya scoffs at that. You're sad and drunk. I think the fuck not. You're a bossy chibi, Dazai grumbles, but he doesn't protest the assessment. Takes Chuya's offered hand to stand up. He dusts off his pants before leaning forward to put his hands on top of the gravestone. Bye, Odasaku. Say hello to the kids, he murmurs, before straightening back up and leaning into an exaggerated stretch with his arms over his head. Chuya stabs a finger into the small of Dazai's back to urge him to move then, away from the grave and down the hill. Ow! Dazai whines. Chuya is so violent. In retaliation, he swipes Chuya's hat from his head and puts it on haphazardly and with far more force than he intended. Chuya doesn't bother attempting to get it back. I hate you, he groans, dropping his head back and running a hand through his hair. So fucking much. Dazai takes the stairs two at a time and spins on his heel to face Chuya when he reaches the bottom. Don't be jealous that I look better in your ugly hat than you do. Chuya uses his ability to hop straight down from the top, landing softly on the ball of one foot. Whatever. Bastard can't sit down like a normal person sober, but he can somehow manage to be graceful when he's too drunk to walk down the stairs unaided. It's charming, and Dazai doesn't appreciate it. They spend the walk to Chuya's condo bickering, Dazai providing a rude running commentary and trying to trip Chuya while stumbling over his own feet, threatening to throw his hat over bridges and into garbage cans. For his part, Chuya yells and threatens bodily harm at the right places, and it feels so normal, so nostalgic, hanging up secrets like coats on a rack, weightless with the familiarity of partnership. And Dazai feels a little less miserable for the first time in days. The end. Thank you for listening.